Reading from Sri Bhajan Rahasyam by Srila Thakur Bhaktivinoda. We're discussing the fifth verse of Shikshastakam, wherein Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is revealing a very advanced stage of devotional service known as asakti, or attachment, for not only bhajan itself, but the bhajaniya, which means the object of bhajan. At this level of progress in bhakti, one actually becomes very much attached to the person, Krishna the person, and Sri Radha, and has experience of them directly. And this verse is incorporated in Nam Bhajan to actually help us develop our attachment on one level. And when one is actually attached to the Lord, then he cries like this. He cries as Radharani is crying for Krishna, "Hey Nanda Nandan, O son of Nanda Maharaj, O Krishna, I am suffering, I'm lost, alone and suffering. I'm drowning in this ocean of material suffering, material existence. Please pick me up from this ocean and keep me at your feet. Ayananda Tanusha Kinkaram Patitam Mam Vishame Bhavamvaro Kripaya Tava Pada Pankaja Stita Duli Sadrisham Vichintaya." So the key word that Bhaktivinoda Thakur wants us to think about, to reflect upon, and meditate upon, and to realize, is this word Kinkara. Kinkara means servant on one level, if you take the male gender, Kinkara. But if you take female gender, Kinkari, it means female servant or maidservant. So the entire chapter, this Panchama Yam Sarana, which describes Nam Bhajan, the level of asakti, is all about developing this bhav, Kinkari bhav. Because without the bhav, there's not any possibility to realize the deha. Because body comes from bhav. Yam yam bhapi smaran bhavam dhyachityanti kalevaram. Whatever bhav we have, whatever inner liking, inner attraction, feeling, sometimes it says a sabhav, within our mind and heart, whatever we're attached to, whatever we're contemplating, whatever we like, that particular mood will give us a particular body. So in bhajan, at least for the most part, let's say, although there are always exceptions, for the most part, the Gaudiya Vaishnava followers of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu are coming in this mood of servants of Radharani. It's called Gopi Bhav, Mandri Bhav. So this chapter, practically all the verses we're reading day after day, the last few days, are all about developing this type of mood, feelings and sentiments, by hearing the pastimes of the Braja Gopis with Krishna. How do they deal? How do they speak? How do they feel? What are they actually thinking when they're associating with Krishna? And what is driving them forward, and why are they actually acting? And we have to somehow pray to them and hear about their pastimes and pray that they will be merciful upon us, because as we know, everything depends on kripa. So in this verse, this explains a rather advanced level of asakti, because all these levels of nishta, ruchi, asakti, bhava, and prema itself have so many intermediate levels. Sneha, man, pranaya, rag, anurag, bhav, mahabhav, even prema itself, which of course these higher levels are all in aprakrita, vastu, deha, or in siddhadeha. But even the level of ruchi, there are different levels of ruchi, and there's different levels of asakti. So on a higher level of asakti, Bhaktivinoda Thakur is meditating, what is the experience, or what is the mentality, or what is the thinking of someone on a higher level of attachment, who is now, his attachment to the Lord, to Radha and Krishna, is starting to bring about some feelings of bhav, some transformations. So as one approaches to the level of bhava and bhava bhakti, then what is happening? What type of mindset does one have? So he, thinking like that, then this word comes to his mind from, it says here, This comes from the Goswamis, but actually it's from Radharas Sudaniti. And although it's not mentioned here, but I guess he remembered the verse while he was doing bhajan, but he didn't remember the origin. Because in his own introduction to the verse, Bhaktivinoda Thakur is saying, the conception of being a maidservant of Sri Radha is described in the following words of the Goswamis. So he had memorized and had known so many verses, and by the virtue of Bhakti Devi herself, when Bhaktivinoda Thakur was absorbed in his bhajan, and late at night, chanting lakh or two of Naam and meditating on Shikshastakam, then Bhakti Devi revealed this verse within the core of his heart, although he didn't know where it was from. But this verse can be found in Radharas Sudaniti. So he says, Abhimanam Purityaja Prakriti Vapur Adishu Sri Krishna Kripaya Gopi Dehe Brajeva Samyaham Radhikanu Chari Bhutva Parakiya Rase Sada Radha Krishna Vilasheshu Paricharyam Karomyaham. This is page 205, verse 11. So here, he's telling how to take shelter of Siddha Deha. This is one, there's some outline of these verses. Or, this verse is also indicating the pride in being Radha's maidservant. So this is a translation given here. Abhiman Purityaja. After giving up false identification with this material body, Prabodhananda Saraswati's prayer for us, because he's Tunga Vidyasaki, so he doesn't need to really pray for getting free from Abhiman, but we certainly do. Abhiman means the mentality or the idea or the fixation that we're something that we're not, that we are this body. After giving up false identification with this material body, may I obtain the body of a gopi. Prakriti Vapur Adishu, Sri Krishna Kripya Gopi Dehe. By the mercy of Sri Krishna Kripa, Gopi Dehe Brajavas Aham. May I obtain the body of a gopi and reside in Braj by the mercy of Sri Krishna. Becoming a maidservant of Sri Radha, Anuchari, Radhika Anuchari, may I always serve and attend Radha and Krishna, who enjoy pastimes of paramour love. Parakiya rase sada. Radha Krishna vilas cheshu paricharyam karomyam. So in this verse, we find this very word, karomyam. Because this word, kinkari, is broken down to kim karom. So apparently in his deep meditation on this verse, number 5 in Shikshastakam, this, because kim means what and karom means can I do. With folded hands, the disciple asks one question of the spiritual master. He appears before the guru with folded hands and says, how may I serve you? What can I do to serve you? Or the manjari appears before her guru Sakhi. Here or there, the question is the same. And in sadhaka rup, we appear before the guru with folded hands and say, how may I serve you? Or what can I do to serve you? And in siddha rup, in Bhoma Vrindavan, or in the spiritual world, we appear before our guru Sakhi, was the same person. And then we have folded hands also in our manjari rupa, and we say, kim karomi, how may I serve you? What can I do to serve you? So this very word is here, kim karomyaham, becomes kinkari or kinkara. So this is the actual prayer for, this arises, this type of prayer will actually arise. This type of feeling will arise in the heart. This aspiration specifically to be Radharani's maidservant, someone who is following and worshipping Radha and Krishna and Raghunuga Bhakti, this desire will become very, very strong. And there's commentary here. As long as a sadhaka identifies himself with the material body, Dehatma Buddhi, he cannot enter the kingdom of bhajan. So that's so much for that. Only after one has rejected all kinds of false identities pertaining to the body, such as I am a brahmana, I am a kshatriya, and pertaining to the character, thinking, I am so qualified, I am so rich, I am a scholar. Only after he becomes more humble than a blade of grass, Srinadapi Sunichena, and prays with extreme distress, is it possible to obtain Krishna's mercy. All types of anarthas, aparads, and abhimans, which means false identities or false identifications, can only be eradicated by good association, satsang. We should weep and pray in a distressed, humble voice, because this is what this prayer is. This prayer is weeping. Prabodhananda Saraswati is showing us how to weep. We don't know how to weep or cry, or we don't know what to cry for, then we should cry for this. Cry, what? What do we cry for? We cry, please let me get out of this bodily conception of life. Please give me the body of a gopi. This man's body, woman's body is no good. It's lousy. It's rotten, stinking. And such distress is caused by these upadis. So we're crying. What do I want? I want this body of a gopi. For what? For seva. Of whom? Of Radha. Where? In the Braj, in the Brajanikunjas. And I want to assist you in your pastimes of paramour love with Krishna. So this is the a distressed and humble voice. O Sri Krishna, O Radha, gopi dehe brajavas yaham. When will I attain such mercy as to reside in Braj and become the dasi of the dasi of the dasis of Radhika? And when will I eternally serve your Parakya Rasvilas day and night? That's a very nice phrase. So this, an initial part of the commentary, is to explain that we should be free from all these upadis, sarvapadi vinirmuktam, tatparat vena nirmalam. That when we're nirmal, when our mind and heart are actually purified, then we can do bhajan. Because as long as we're in an impure state of mind, then we can't really think of Radha and Krishna's pastimes. And bhajan means to serve in their pastimes, or even to aspire for the service. Because to serve in their pastimes, one has to have siddhadeha and do manasi seva in siddhadeha. That's the ultimate goal, as sadhaka and as siddha. But before we get to that platform of realizing siddhadeha, which will come at the level of bhava, then we have to come to the platform of meditating on services and hankering for services. But that's not even possible. Such hankering for the service of Radha and Krishna, and such hankering and earnestness to serve the way Rupa serves, or serve the way Narottam serves, or serve the way that Vishnu Chakravarti is explaining, to hanker or desire to serve like they're serving, this is only possible if we get free from the material identifications. So this, to think I'm a Brahmin, I'm a Kshatriya, I'm something special, this can be annihilated, or this, let's say, can be reduced by this verse that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu spoke in Chaitanya Charitamrita. And this verse was spoken before Jagannath's chariot. When he would come out before Rathyatra, Lord Chaitanya would see Jagannath, Brajendranandan and Shamasundar, sitting on his chariot. Then he would recite this verse. And this verse is given as the Bhuta Shuddhi. And Bhuta means elements, and Shuddhi means purifying. This verse purifies us from the mal, the contamination of the body. Because in Archan Marg, or in Vaidhi Sadhana, devotees will do so many types of Buddha Shuddhi. With Nyas, they will touch different parts of their body and chant mantras to try to purify their body and become free from upadis and designations. But in Rag Marg, we simply have to adjust the bhav, and automatically the body is adjusted. So this is the verse that Lord Chaitanya spoke. Naham vipro nacha narapatir napi vaisho na shudro. Naham varni nacha grihapatir nova nashto yatirva. Kentu pradyani kala paramananda purna britavdir. Gopi bartu padakamalyor. Das, das, das anudas. Everyone pretty much knows the last part. Das, das, das anudas. So of Gopinath, we want to be the servants of Gopinath. But Gopinath is served by dasis. But Mahaprabhu is speaking, so the verse is in the male gender. But the actual conception is female. We want to be dasi, anudasi, anudasi, anugatya, following the footsteps of the gopis. And as it says here, this is appropriately said, that we cry in distress and humility, oh, when will I become the dasi of the dasi of the dasis of Radhika? And when will I eternally serve your parakya rasavilas day and night? By such distress-filled prayers, Gopi Bhav will arise in the heart by the mercy of Sri Radha's Sakhis, the eternally perfected gopis of Braj. So Gopi Bhav, of course, is we want to come in sadhana bhakti, Vaidyan and Raghunuga sadhana, we want to come to bhava bhakti. So what is that bhava bhakti? That bhava bhakti is the bhav or the abhas of a particular rati. We're aspiring for a particular rati, a particular loving attachment to the Lord. Rati means attachment. So what is that attachment? That attachment is madhura rati or conjugal love. So our sadhana has to be performed in the direction of the rati we wish to attain. So if we want to come to bhava bhakti, or level of this practice of bhava bhakti, then we must have some type of bhav. And our practice of sadhana must be done with some type of bhav, some general understanding or general inclination. Of course, only at the level of Vaidhi sadhana and Anartha Nivritti, then one won't have much understanding or inclination in a particular bhav. But as the heart becomes cleansed, and we come to the level of Nishta, Trinada Pisunichena, then one may at least think, oh, I'm reading these Rasa Granths, I'm reading these books by the Goswamis, and how nicely and beautifully and sweetly they're serving Radha and Krishna. And it's very attractive to me. I don't know who I am or what I am, but at least I'm attracted to this. So that you can say is the very elementary or beginning of interest in a particular type of rati or staibhav. And then we say, anyway, what the hell? Let me read about all these things. It's extremely attractive, extremely interesting. And then as we read and we try to mold our thinking and hearts around the teachings of the Goswamis, Narottam, Vishwanath, Rupa and Sanatan, and then, and Bhaktivinoda, of course, then everything is more and more specified. So then when we come actually directly under the shelter of some guru, bhajan guru, diksha guru, whomever, who can train us specifically in how to follow the eternal residence of Vrindavan, then we start directing our prayers and our meditations specifically to one or two or three residents of Vrindavan who have a particular bhav that we want to attain. So that's why it's saying here, that then we're actually praying to Rupa Manjari with great humility and great distress. And naturally, Radharani is Karunamayi, so the gopis and Manjaris are only her Kaya Vyuha. So whatever she has, they have. But she's made of Karun, of compassion. So when these Parikshads, or Nitya Jana Ragatmikas, these Ragatmika Janas of Radharani, when they hear, oh, why is he crying so much? So much crying, so much distress, so much humility. And all he wants is just a body. What's the big deal? There's so many bodies up here. There's so many gopi dehas. And all he wants is a body. That's not a big thing. He's not asking for a planet or for lordship over the universe or emperorship or be the creator or Brahma or Shiva. It's a small thing. It's just a little, wants a deha. Gopi deha. Dehi gopi deha. Please give me a gopi deha. So then they think, oh, he's asking for that. But first we have to give him the bhav. We have to bestow our bhav into his heart. We have to instill our bhav in his heart. Surcharge his... He has some feelings, but we have to surcharge those. We have to deepen those, condense those, and purify those of any other deha bhav or any abhiman. He has his deha abhiman, but we have to make this gopi abhiman. And that's what they do. That's how they reciprocate. That's being told here. By such distress-filled prayers, Gopi Bhav will arise in the heart by the mercy of Radha's Sakhis, the eternally perfected Gopis of Braj, the Nitya Parishads. Without Gopi Bhav, it is impossible to attain Brajadham, where Radha and Krishna perform their amorous pastimes in the Nibrita Nikunj, which means solitary groves. This mood, or Gopi Bhav, is attained only by following Radha's intimate sakhis, who attend her in her private chambers. Only then can one enter these pastimes. Only they can enter these pastimes and no one else. And only they expand these pastimes and taste them. So the Ekadash Bhavas are evoked only by their mercy. Narottam Das Thakur sings in Prem Bhakti Chandrika. Jugala Charana Sevi Nirantarai Bhavi Anuragi Takiba Sadai Saraneva Vibhajaha Siradeha Pavataha Ragapat E Seupai. He says, Narottam, I will constantly serve the lotus feet of Radha and Krishna with loving attachment, anurag. Whatever I contemplate during sadhana will certainly be achieved upon attaining perfection of a siddhadeha, spiritual body. Sadhane bhaviva jaha siddhadeha pavataha. This is the method of the path of rag. So this is Narottam is giving those practicing Raghunuga Bhakti, they are meant to give very specific shape to the meditation. And that meditation will also be guided by Guru. So here he's saying, Parakiya Rase Sada. The scripture is established, because that's in the verse of Radharasudha Nidhi. The scriptures establish the preeminence of the Parakiya Rasa Braj. By serving Radha and Krishna in the mood of wedded love, Swakiya, one will attain Goloka Vrindavan. And by serving in Paramore love, one will attain Braja Vrindavan, the absolute innermost chamber of Goloka Dham, where Radha and Krishna's Nikunja Leelas take place. This is described in Brihad Bhagavatamrita and also in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. By Sanatana Rupa. There's actually two Vrindavans. There's Aishwarya Vrindavan and Madhurya Vrindavan. So, some people, they worship in Vaidhi Sadhana, and by following Vaidhi Sadhana, they can also come to the platform of Bhav. But in their Vaidhi, they may have this Aishwarya conception, Aishwarya Mahi Bhakti, where their devotion to Radha and Krishna is mixed with so much Aishwarya that they actually think of them as being married. They're actually worshipping them in a mood of Swakiya, as if they're actually married. There are devotees like that. Or they don't accept this Parakiya mood. And they say, see, look here, in Brahma Vaivarta Puran, in Bandiravan, under the Bandira tree, Brahma came down, and Radha and Krishna were married. It's telling here, this is a Praman, they're married. And so they all say, yes, I'm worshipping Radha and Krishna, and I'm doing Bhakti Bhajan, but I see that I accept them as being married. And this is actually their rasa, swakiya, bhav, swakiya ras. Not this parakiya rasa vilas, but swakiya rasa vilas. They're actually married. And Krishna also, when Brahma stole all the cows and calves for 1 year, then Krishna became those coward boys. So Krishna married all the other coward girls. So there's no parakiya. Krishna married them all during that 1 year, and then he continued to marry them. So Krishna's not running with anyone's wives. He married everyone. So they worship. Or someone may worship Radha and Krishna and they don't follow the gopis. They don't actually become gopi anugata. They don't actually follow in the line of Ragmarg and the gopis. So Sanatana Goswami and Rupa Goswami are telling that there's another Vrindavan. It's not Vaikuntha, because they're not worshipping Lakshmi Narayan. They're worshipping Radha and Krishna. But it's not this Braja Vrindavan, as he says, Braja Vrindavan, or Braj Vrindavan. It is Goloka Vrindavan. It is Vrindavan. It is a planet. It's Krishna Loka. But it's one corner. And in that corner, there's Radha, there's Krishna, there's Nanda, Yashoda, there's everyone. So what is being told there, there's on that planet of Krishna Loka, there are two Vrindavans, there are two Krishnas, there's two Radhas, there's two Nandas, there are two Yashodas, and there's two Nandagrams. And that Nandagram, in the Nandagram of Aishwarya Leela, there's this huge palace on the top of the hill. It has lapis lazuli bolts, and coral bolts, and lapis lazuli doors, and sapphire floors, and golden rooftops, and all this heavy Aishwarya, just like the Swargaloka. And everything's very royal and very grand. That's the Goloka Vrindavan. And many people, many devotees, that worship Radha and Krishna, they have so much of this mood of Aishwarya that they must be like, Radha and Krishna must be like this. They must be bigger than us and better than us and more wealthy and opulent. And Nanda Baba must have a house with 60 rooms in it. There's the treasury room, and there's the Narayan's temple room, and there's Radharani's bedroom, and there's Krishna's bedroom, and there's, because they come and visit there. And they have these charts with all these rooms. So that is like the Aishwarya Vrindavan. But then there's another Vrindavan where Krishna's in the Goshta. He's living with the cows. Sometimes he's in Kamyavan, sometimes he's here and there. He's just moving with the cows like a nomad, like a gypsy. And he's sleeping with the cows. And he's barefoot, and the ground is just clay and mud and cow dung. But in this Goloka Vrindavan, this Chintamani Prakara Sadmasha Kapal Riksha, the ground is made of Chintamani gems. And there's so many Surabhis, and there's so many, everyone's waving chamaras. And so this is what Brahma saw. Brahma saw this Aishwarya Vrindavan. So this is what's being mentioned here in the purport, that unless we actually follow the gopis of Vrindavan and adopt this mood of paramour love, even it's told when you actually enter the path of bhajan, then when you're thinking of yourself or when you're given the identity by guru as a manjari, you actually also have to adopt this bhav of this abhiman or this mentality of parakiya, that I will take birth in Boma Vrindavan from the womb of a gopi at the time of perfection. And I will grow up there, and I will be also married to some gopa, and I will run away in the middle of the night and join Radha and Krishna to serve them. So even the manjaris in Boma Vrindavan, sadhana siddha, those that attain perfection by sadhana, which ultimately means kripa, they also have the mood of parakiya. They're married to someone else, and they run away from their husbands, and then to go and serve Radha and Krishna. So even in manjaris have to have this mood, because they have to understand the feelings. They have to have that mood. Yes, I have a husband. I'm leaving my husband to serve Radharani and Krishna, and understand the feelings of Radha and Krishna. So the six Goswamis, and of course Bhaktivinoda Thakur is making very clear on these verses how we have to develop all the aspects of how the gopis feel in this parakiya bhav. We have to think about it, meditate on it, read about it. And ultimately, it has to come down. Everything is descending. So this is being told here. So we should be clear that our path of bhajan that the six Goswamis taught us, Manjrisrup bhajan, is coming. This is the bhav. The underlying bhav is parakiya bhav. This is what point is being made here. And this parakiya bhav cannot be received or understood unless one is coming in line of Radharani and her sakis. Sakis and Manjaris. They have this mood. They worship eternally, not only here in this Boma Vrindavan, but eternally in this Braja Vrindavan. So if we want to go there in the innermost chamber, then we must also have this kind of mood. There, the Manjari Sakis, being endowed with Ulas Rati, which means more affection for Radha than Krishna, they are topmost. They render service to the Rasa Keli Lila Vilas. Nice. Sanskrit and Bengali are quite much more attractive than English, that's for sure. Rasa Keli Lila Vilas. In the secluded groves without any hesitation. Das Goswami says in Brajavilastav, it's a similar prayer as Prabodhananda Saraswati is telling. It's number 38. He says, Tambalar Panapara Mardana Payodana Bisanaradibir Brindaranya Maheshwarim Priyataya Yas Toshayanti Priya Prana Preshta Saki Kulad Abhikula Sankochita Bhumika Keli Bhumishu Rupa Manjari Mukas Ta Dasika Samsraya. I take shelter of the Dasikas, the maidservants of Srimati Radhika, of whom Rupa Manjari is prominent. Unlike the Pran Preshta Sakis, they can perform any service without hesitation. They perpetually and affectionately satisfy Radhika by their various services, such as offering tambul arpan pada, massaging paramardan, massaging and cleaning Radharani's feet, bringing her water, Payodhan, and arranging for her meetings or trias with Krishna. So these are the this is another Rasa Acharya, Raghunath Das Goswami, and his Braja Vilas Stavit, and also of course in Vilav Kusumanjali, indicating so many prayers to pray, to follow in the footsteps of the Nitya Siddha Mandris and Sakis, and praying for their bhav. So this verse is telling us, because in the purport here is saying that we need advanced association. We need to associate with advanced devotees. So I wrote something here. I said, the eight A's, eight like the letter A, advanced association annihilates all anarthas, aparadhas, and abhimans. That was like the conclusion. So these are all A's, advanced association, abhiman. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he's giving this verse, text 11, to give some shape to our mentality. Because now our mentality is splayed out over this body and over the desires residing within this body and expressing itself through the senses while interacting with the material world. And he's trying to say that this is our conception. Our thinking in Abhiman should be this. We should be thinking like a gopi, a Braja gopi. And we might say, how is it possible? Unless I have attachment to the Braja gopis, I can't think like them. Unless I'm attached to them and they bestow their mercy upon me, how can I start thinking like them? How can I get this Abhiman? So this is why, of course, at the level of Asakti, Nambhajana Asakti, one who has come to this level, he'll read verses like this, for example, and he'll repeatedly chant this verse and meditate on the meaning while chanting the Mahamantra or independently of chanting the Mahamantra and follow the guidelines that were given in the commentary here of actually praying. Yes, when will I have this mentality? When will I be able to serve the lotus feet of Radharani with this mentality of Rupa Manjari and Rati Manjari? This is the shape of the prayers of the devotee at the level of Raghunuga Bhakti. At the level of Sadhana Bhakti, Vaidhi Sadhana, then we offer so many prayers from the Acharyas about Sharanagati, about just taking shelter. Gopinath, I'm a wicked materialist and I'm addicted to all these things. Please give me your shelter. Please engage me in your service. So this, now at this stage in Bhajan Rahasyam, this is a very high stage. Admittedly, we may not be on this level of Asakti, but there's Anartha Nivritti, then Nishtha and Ruchi. So what Bhaktivinoda Thakur, just repeating, what he's instructing in the book is according to the level we're on, that's the chapter we stay in. But we can read through all the chapters, at least briefly dip into the different chapters. For example, there may be maybe just imagine there's a few lakes, and some of these lakes are very, very deep, very, very deep water in these lakes. And there's one lake that has very shallow water. It's only 1 feet deep. So you're not a very good swimmer. So you may go to the different lakes and sit on the side and put your feet in the deep water lakes, but you don't jump in because you can't swim. And you go back to the shallow lake, it's only 1 feet deep, and then you move over on there. You play over there because you can be accommodated there where it's only 1 feet of water and you can save yourself and swim around and practice your swimming. And then when you get a little strong, you think, well, maybe I'll go into this other lake. So this book is something like that. He's telling that we find the level we're on and we chant those prayers and we meditate and we pray for those prayers and those devotees to reveal themselves in their heart, and that their feelings at that level and their mercy at that level will come to us and help us rise to the next level. So now we're on, this is a very high level we're discussing now of Asakti, because Asakti goes to Bhava and then Prema. So this is, we're practically on the threshold of perfection. So this, all these verses are so high, and these abhimans, these mentalities are so high, and we're like looking here through binoculars or through telescope. But nevertheless, this is what nourishes the bhajan. Because even at the level of Vaidhi Sadhana, the bhava must be coming down. The general bhava at the level of Vaidhi Sadhana is seva bhava, that we're trying to perfect just the mood of being seva, which is the initial understanding of kinkara. that Krishna, I'm your eternal servant. Nityara Swarupaya Krishna Hara Nityadas. That just engage me in service. Now here, at this level of sakti, everything gets so specialized. The specialization. When someone first goes in college, they study a smattering of topics. And then someone says, have you declared your major yet? Are you specializing in any course? After a second year, then you become specialized. So here, Bhaktivinoda Thakur is specializing the bhajan. That we want to, at this level, and even at the level of say, beginning of Raghunuga Sadhana, we must be guided by such thinking. This is called the sadhya. This is the goal. And one of the biggest problems in bhajan is that devotees don't know where they're going. They're chanting, they're serving, they don't have any fixed conception. What is the actual goal of all this? And sometimes they say, oh, the goal is going back to Godhead. And then when you read some books and you get associated with the Goswami, he says, no, we don't want liberation. Lord Chaitanya say, no, not back to Godhead. That's not the goal. The goal is not to go back to Godhead. Oh, really? I thought that was the goal. I thought the goal was to get out. Emancipation, salvation, liberation. No, the goal is to get out of material consciousness and get into the consciousness of seva. Here, there, anywhere, let me simply serve Krishna. In any body, in any place, in the body of an ant, Kita Janmahau, Bhaktivinoda says, let me be born in the house of a Vaishnava. Let me be born as an ant, a Kita, as long as I can be in a Vaishnava's house and render some service there. So then as we go further in Krishna consciousness, we realize that actually the goal is only prema. Prema Pumartha Mahan. And that prema means seva, prema seva. The actual goal of all of our activities, of all of our sadhana, is serving Radha and Krishna in love, with a loving mood, with a favorable attitude, for their pleasure, continually. And then, all right, then your thought may rise, well, they have so many servants. Radha and Krishna have so many loving servants in Braj, in Vrindavan. Well, where will I fit in? And what service will I do? And what am I attracted to? And when we say, well, I don't know. It's not revealed to me. It all sounds good. Let me just serve. Kim karomi. But as one progresses from nishta to ruchi, at the level of ruchi, then things become a little more clear to some extent, what one's inclination is. And then he can start to specify in the direction that Bhaktivinoda Thakur is giving us. If in fact one's predilection is for madhura rati. Last year I wrote some notes here. I don't know if I can coordinate these notes with what we're saying, but there are notes on this. Because this verse, he's talking, Prabhupada Saraswati, he's talking about crying and begging. I'll read the verse again that we're discussing, verse 11. He's saying, after giving up false identification with the material body, may I obtain the body of a gopi and reside in Braj by the mercy of Sri Krishna. Becoming a maidservant of Sri Radha, may I always serve and attend Radha and Krishna, who enjoy pastimes of paramour love. So the verse itself, the translation sounds rather just like he's making a statement. Well, may I attain, I like to have the service of Radha and Krishna. So we can't, from the words themselves, we can't understand the intensity or the backing. What's behind these words? What is his position of his heart and mind that's producing this prayer? So that the acharyas, as we mentioned, they're saying we should actually weep. We should weep and pray in a distressed and humble voice. Gopi dehe braja vasam yaham. So that's here. This is here. Gopi dehe braja vasam yaham. So the acharyas, the realized acharyas, are indicating that there's a lot behind this verse. It's not just some Sanskrit with some English translation. There's all kinds of feelings, all kinds of emotions, all kinds of humility and all kinds of crying. So that is what we have to try to reach into our own hearts. And with that kind of mood, that kind of crying and pitiful mood, we can try to perform our bhajan by chanting these prayers. For example, if someone says, oh, you should leave, you should go from this place. So the words are, you should go from this place. You say, okay, I should go from this place. Maybe I say, you should go from this place. If I change the accent and the same words are there, I say, you should go from this place. Then you say, oh, well, he wants me to go from here. Or if you say, so the same thing. We look at these words and he simply seems simple. Oh, may I obtain the body of a gopi and reside in Braj? Oh, you know, like you're yawning or something. But he's desperate. There's a feeling of desperation that I'm stuck on this abhiman. I want to pratyaja. Pratyaja means I'm disgusted. This word pratyaja in Sanskrit means parityaj, complete, absolute, utter renunciation. That I am fed up with this bodily identification. I don't want it anymore. I'm really desperate. I've become desperate. With this abhiman is ruining me. This abhiman is destroying me. This abhiman is preventing me from entering the ocean of bhajan. And it's so much problematic and so much painful. So I want to throw this away. So this is what's being said. So this is very deep. And then he's saying that this prakritivapa, this material body, all in this abhiman, I want to get out. But how can I get out? Sri Krishna Kripaya. Oh, Krishna, please give me your mercy. And then you say, all right, you're saying Sri Krishna Kripaya. Oh, please be merciful to me. You're crying for my mercy. What do you want? What do you want anyway? What do I want? Oh, Gopi Dehi, Braje, Vasa, Brajavas. I want to live in Braj in a Gopi Deha. Acha? Why do you want that? What do you do with that? Just go around and like this and like that? What do you want to do? And then he says, I want Radhika Anuchari, Parikya Rasasada. So Krishna is saying, oh, that's why you want. You want a Gopi Deha to serve my Radhika. So you have actually a selfless mood. You're not trying to get something for your own advantage. You want to serve my Radhika. And then you want to serve Radhika Anuchari. But then you want to serve both of us together in our Parakya Rasavilas. Acha. Maybe I should give you a Gopi Deha. Because you're crying for this. It's like the father. If you cry enough to the father, he's all right. What do you want? Take it. Take it. How intense is our crying? Oh, we asked one day, 1 month, I read this verse and I said, yes, Krishna, you know, give me a Gopi Deha. But are we like Raghunath Das? We're rolling on the banks of Shamakun and crying day and night, Nirantara, without cessation. So we should, the Acharyas are telling us that we should somehow or other, I don't know how, but somehow, beg and cry to know our relationship with Rupa Manjari, Ananga Manjari, feeling utterly worthless and destitute. We should pray that they can make us or help us realize what is our seva, that they will give us a place to stay in Braj. Many devotees, they have live over here. They come to Braj and they live here, or they try to live here. But unless our mind and heart enter these type of moods, we're not really living here at all. We're simply passing time here. So these type of moods, and whenever we associate with advanced devotees, they always correct our mentality. That's what they're all psychiatrists. Advanced devotees are actually all psychiatrists, and they're always, when we come in their association, they're always like spinning our heads around and trying to reorient our thinking patterns and change our vibration, our manovritti. So time and time again, they will tell us, what are you thinking? What are you meditating on? What are you praying for? What are you crying for? Oh, I'm crying for rotis. I'm crying for boga. This is obviously the wrong thing. So he's saying, Gopi Deha Vas, Brajavas. This prayer, this Prabhadananda Saraswati, he's full of grief. Grief-stricken prayer. Of course, he's a Nitya Siddha, Priyasakhi of Radhika and Krishna. But they feel like this. And they're showing these type of feelings to bestow their mercy, in our heart. Without having Gopi Bhav, we can never get a chance to serve Radha and Krishna in the Nibritant Nikunja, solitary kunjas. Without this bhava, we can't get any seva. And this bhava is only within the sahacharis of Krishna and Radha. Therefore, it's necessary to follow their moods of seva in one's antas-chinta-deha. This is told in Chaitanya Charitamrita. Of course, that must be given, must be revealed, our internal spiritual body. And this happens at this level that Guru reveals, at this level of asakti. Only Srimati Radharani, Radharani Sakis, can perform these intimate sevas. Only by their mercy can these pastimes be tasted. Anyone who gives up his material abhiman and continue, means material identification, I'm so and so, and I have this, and I have that, and I possess this, and I possess that. Anyone who gives up material abhiman and continuously prays to any sakhi of Radha, then, by their mercy, the 11 symptoms, ekadash bhava, of one's siddhadeya will begin to manifest within one's heart. Nam, seva, complexion, color of cloth, and their seva stali, their resonance, their sakigan. We have two abhimans. One is material, one is spiritual. Abhiman is the cause of rati, or bhav. But we have abhiman for so many other things. Many other attractions we have. But we have to neglect all of them to select one. We have to select one as our abhiman. This verse is about abhiman, the mentality. Krishna is performing his leelas in Braj with his Nitya Siddhi Parishads. So this, when one actually enters Boma Vrindavan, takes birth there, this is described in Gita Mala, Siddhi Lalasa, by Bhaktivinoda Thakur. One will grow up over there, take birth in Boma Vrindavan from the womb of a gopi, and grow up. And then, at the age of 8, like we see that Krishna, when he had the rasa dance in Boma Vrindavan, he was 8 years old, and the gopis were like 7. The Maharas dance. So then, the gopi, when they get a chance by Guru Sakhi's arrangement, they will meet some other gopis, Gopi Milan. And then Krishna will come to the rasa dance, then he'll leave the rasa dance, as he does here. He leaves the rasa dance. And then, you, or we, or whatever, in our gopi form, two Sakhis will talk. And the younger one, who is too young to meet with Krishna, she will speak to the older one. She'll say, oh, what is it like when you meet Krishna? What goes on there? And because this is what happened when Balaram came back to Vrindavan. Those gopis who were too young when Krishna had the rasa dance, they had grown up when he came back after they went to Dwarka. And he danced with those gopis that were too young to enter the rasa dance. So the young gopi will say, he'll say, younger one, she's too young to meet with Krishna. But now, she'll speak with the older one. But now as she grows up, and she becomes like 8 years old, 7, 8 years old, now she has the beauty and qualifications are all manifest. But now Krishna's left. So the older Sakhi will say to her, yes, now you've grown up, you have some qualification, but oh Sakhi, you know, you've learned all the arts, and you're so beautiful. Your beauty shouldn't be wasted. Tell me, which boy are you attracted to? I'll help arrange everything. So this older gopi will test the younger gopi. And the younger gopi will say, what are you saying? What are you saying? Why are you asking me which boy in Braj am I attracted to? Which boy am I attached to? And then she'll say, I'm not attracted to anyone in Braj who's not wearing a peacock feather and a yellow dhoti and standing in tree bungalow. That boy in Braj, he may be from a wealthy family, or very rich, but I consider him like a piece of straw. So this is abhiman. This is, the Brajagopis have abhiman like this. That they're totally fixed and centered on Krishna. They don't want anyone but Krishna. And they don't want to offer themselves to anyone but Krishna. So this type of abhiman is what gopis have, gopi abhiman. So now we're offering ourselves to so many masters other than Krishna. And we have so many different thoughts and so many different mentalities. So when we hear this, then we pray as Prabhupada Saraswati is praying that we give up this material abhiman and take on the eternal spiritual abhiman of a gopi. Following the moods of the Braja gopis and praying with desperation, when will I realize my spiritual body? When will I find my place in Krishna's Leela in Braj? When will I live there and do seva to Srimati Radharani? When will I attain the opportunity to render service to Radha and Krishna as they are together in Nikunj tasting this Parakya Ras? By continually praying like this, then, by the mercy of any Sakhi of Radha, we will get this mood will come in our hearts. It will manifest by their mercy. It's called Nitya Siddha Bhavasya Prakatyam Riddhi. It says in Nectar Devotion. This Nitya Siddha Bhava will become Prakatya, will be manifest. And as Narottam says in this verse, whatever we do in our sadhana, that will we attain when we're perfect. And the analogy is used like an unripe mango. Mango is green, it's on the tree, and it is exposed to sunshine, and it becomes yellow and ripe and sweet. So we must start with a mango. If we don't have a mango, then a mango won't become ripe. So to attain Gopi Deha, or Siddhadeha and Gopi Bhav, first we have to start with the Abhiman, with the mentality, the thinking. And that's what this verse is saying. This mentality, this Abhiman. In our minds, we're praying to have Gopi Deha, we're praying to live in Braj, and we're praying to assist Radha and Krishna in their eternal Parakya pastimes. This is our prayer. And it should be desperate. And it should be continuous. So that's the green mango. First we have to establish the mango tree and have the green mango there. And then when the mercy comes, the sunshine of the mercy is the glance of the Parishads, Krishna and Radha's Parishads. And their glance is their Srup Shakti. And then that will ripen our bhava. And then as it ripens, our bhava ripens and the Siddhadeya is revealed. Then in the Siddhadeya, then we can deepen our bhavas and enter the seva of Radha and Krishna in Manasi, in our minds. So only doing chanting and seva without sambandha gyan and without mamata means feeling of possession or identifying with these parijans, ragatmika parijans, that will not do it. So what we do in our heart, what we're meditating in our heart at the time of sadhana, that will become siddha. The only difference is ripe and unripe. It's not that just by chanting Hare Krishna without sambandha gyan and no meditation on lila and no desire for seva and not being anugatya with any braja gopi that we'll get siddhadeya and attain eternal seva of Radha and Krishna Vrindavan. Why? Because we don't have an unripe mango to begin with. The immature stage of seva of Radha and Krishna grows into the mature stage. So this is the path of Rag Bhakti. At first we choose an associate of Krishna. We hear a katha about that associate. We pray to them. We serve like them. We absorb our hearts and minds in their moods and meditations and their feelings and their mentality. That's called tadatmika, means to become one with them. How are Rupa Goswami, and how is Raghunath Das Goswami, and how is Kamala Manjari, Bhakti Vinod, how are they serving Radha and Krishna? And especially, how are they serving Radha? This is appropriate for us to deeply meditate in this way, deeply praying to attain these sevas, always remembering, I'm very fallen. I'm just a conditioned soul. I'm so low and so despicable and so desperate and so miserable. But I have great hope. This is called hope of the sadhaka. I have great hope that if I mix my desperate heart completely with the hearts of Rupa Manjari and Raghunath Das, then the mercy will flow. Then these moods, these 11 moods, that's why it's called Ekadash Bhav, these are actually moods. The moods, we say complexion and name and dress, but it says Ekadash Bhav, 11 bhavas, means the moods, that we're serving Krishna with our complexion, with our name, with our dress, everything. There's a mood behind it. We'll realize by their mercy that we are like them. but with a slight difference, because every mandri has their own identity, their own complexion, their own seva, everything. So I talk about the two Vrindavans, which I mentioned. And this you can see also on Brihad Bhagavatamrita, Nectar Devotion. So we'll stop there if there's any comments or questions. We can read this note tomorrow about this. Yeah. Yes.
This chapter is about Rusa, right?
This chapter from Bhajan Rahasyam is about asakti, about attachment.
So here Bhaktivinoda Thakur is praying for Gopideha.
Yes. Or, well, actually, it says he wants the yeah. He's using this verse as a verse to give us the abhiman, the mentality, and the verse from Radharasudha Nidhi, Prabodhananda Saraswati, he's praying for Gopideha.
But you previously mentioned that until the devotee reach this Ruchi or Asakti, he will not know exactly what reaction he will take.
No, well, in bhava, the level of, you can say the higher level of asakti in bhava, the actual siddhadeya is revealed. But the inclination for a particular madhura rati, or attraction to serve Radha and Krishna in a particular sthayi bhava, that can come even at ruchi. So there's ruchi, then there's asakti.
My question is, like you were saying before, that all the stages, ruchi, asakti, bhava, they all exist continuously.
Yes.
So some quantity of that Rusha or Asakti, even beginner devotee can have.
Yes, there's.
So can the same prayer be a prayer of beginner? Or it only,
well, that's the point. That one feels, if one, and that's what we were reading this morning in Nectar Devotion, that if someone sees the, he's talking about sadhana bhakti, Vaidhi and Raghunuga sadhana, very beginning of Nectar Devotion, Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. He's saying that someone, Vishnu's commentary, he said, if someone sees the beautiful form, the Rupa Madhurya, the beautiful forms of Radha and Krishna, the Murtis, Murti form, in the temple, or he hears the descriptions of Krishna's Leela in the 10th canto, because he's talking about the inspiration to follow, to practice sadhana. So if the inspiration is based on Shastriya Shraddha, faith in Shastra, and adherence to the injunctions and fear of not following them, or the inspiration is based on attraction to the sweetness. So if someone hears these sweet pastimes of 10th canto, Madhurya Leela, Raj Leela, or sees the sweet form of Radha Shama Sundara in Krishna Balaram temple, and sees how beautifully they're dressed, and he feels, oh, I feel inspired. Krishna is so beautiful. These pastimes are so nice. I would like to serve them. So that is the basis to begin Raghunuga Bhakti, which can happen even to the level of Anartanivrti, which is told in Raghavart Manchandrika. That happening, which is very, very rare, to have that, to be inspired just by seeing the deities. People come in and see these, who are they? And so that's very rare. That rarity usually happens because in previous life, there was already, the person was practicing Raghunuga Bhakti, or they were blessed by Rasika Vaishnava in that life or in this life to have such special. That's why it's told that if you hear Hari Gita or Rasakata from a Rasika Vaishnava, a very advanced devotee who's actually relishing the bhavas and rasas of the gopis in Braj, when he speaks the pastimes of 10th canto, and you hear that maybe for the first time, that will have so much bhava and ras behind it of his own realizations drawn from those pastimes, because he's a participant, that you will be able to, you will get attraction and want to serve, and you'll be inspired to serve, even though you haven't even read any shastra. So much power is there. It's called prabhav, kata prabhav, the influence of the kata. So it's possible that even, that we can also have these type of prayers. If we're attracted and we hear this, yes, I want to pray like this, I want service like this, although I'm just in an artanivrti. That means that the raga is awakened, that some loba has come. So it's, you don't repress that loba. Maybe I shouldn't think like this, or maybe I shouldn't pray like this. No, this is not correct. Generally, no one ever thinks like this. No one, even if they hear, what's this? So if that's coming, that is the indication of lobe. One acharya explains that if you have to ask the question, well, should I read these books, or should I not read these books, or should I think like this? He said, this is the proof, my dear friend, you have no loba, and you have no greed. And, it is, and without greed, for these things, you have no access. So don't. Then the question is, don't read. There's one new devotee. He came to Guru. Gurudev, you know, I was thinking maybe I should read this book, Govinda Lilamrita or Bhajan Rahasyam or some of these books about Radha and Krishna's pastime. But I don't know. I'm not sure. And he said, no, don't read. And some other disciple just get them and start reading. Oh, I can't stop. This is too sweet. It's too attractive. I'm too interested in this. And then he'll go to his Gurudev and say, Gurudev, I know I didn't ask you, but I got these books and I started reading them day and night and I can't stop and I'm so inspired. Yes, yes, keep going, keep going. Some greed has awoken. He'll be very happy that such lobha has arisen. That's the whole idea. That's what all these rasika acharyas are, why they're writing all these astakams and all these books and prayers and all these rasagrants, so that we get infected, we get the disease, and then we go crazy and follow in their footsteps. Yes. There's unlimited parakostas. Parakosta means compartments. As in the rasa dance and so many other pastimes, Krishna expands into unlimited forms. His original form is always with Radharani. But his Vaibhav Prakash, his expanded forms are there to reciprocate with all the other different devotees. So it's not like, wow, if you know my service, my nitya seva is chamara, but there's so many millions of gopis that are also doing chamara, I have to get a ticket and wait in line for 700 years. In 700 years, I'll wait in line, and finally, Rupa Manjari will say, hey, number, you have that ticket, number 700? That's me. Okay, come on in. Now's your chance to fan Radha and Krishna and Nikunj. You know, they've been perspiring, and they're very fatigued. So you do, oh, wow, finally. Oh, my God, I forgot my chamara. You know. So then you get in there for 2 minutes and fanning. Okay, next, 701, out, 700, get back in line. And they call in Mundri 701. The acharyas, they said, everything is totally personal, everything is confidential, everything is intimate. There's just you and your Guru Sakhi, and your Guru Sakhi Parampara, and there's Rupa Mundri, and Rati Mundri, and Nanga Mundri, and there's the Kunj. And it's only four or five gopis there, six, eight gopis and Mundris, and that's it. Those other million, they can figure out what they have to do. Those other 3 billion gopis and mandris, they can figure out where they have to go. But you don't see them, and they don't see you. It's like this.
How real is the Krishna? How original is he?
He's 99.9% original. There's no way you can tell. And Yogamaya you'll never have any idea that. Well, is this the real Krishna or this? It's the real Krishna and another Nikunj with Radharani. You'll never think like that. But the descriptions of the rasa dance, they say that Krishna's original form is always standing by the side of Radharani, and some other, another form, which is slightly different, goes with the other sakis. But this is all Prakriti Vastu, these inconceivable achintya things. Let's get there first and find out. Yes.
Meditation, but they have so much description of palaces and tourists.